Hello and welcome to another episode of FinTech Stories, Dell Wessing's podcast, which explores the latest legal and regulatory developments, trends, and hot topics in the FinTech sector from across the globe. I'm Miroslav Djuric. I am Senior Associate in our Financial Services Regulatory Practice based in our Frankfurt office. And in today's episode, we will be exploring some key practical and regulatory considerations around the use of artificial intelligence in the financial services sector. Today, I will be switching chairs with Dr. Virena Ritti-Doring, who will run today's episode as a host, and discuss with our dear guest, Fritz Oli Pieper, who is salary partner in our Düsseldorf office and one of key experts in our firm for all things AI, including the new EU AI Act, and myself, some key questions around the use of AI in financial services. Virena, I would say now the floor is yours.
Hello, Miroslav. Hi, Fritz. Welcome to today's episode from my side as well.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me and glad to be here.
So let's kick off. Miroslav, let's start with you. You have been dealing with this topic, so AI in the financial services sector, a lot lately. So I wanted to ask you first, can you share with us some most common use cases for AI in the financial market?
Yeah, most definitely. There is really a variety of use cases that can come to mind when we speak about the deployment, potential deployment of AI in the financial services space. However, first, I must say that the use of automated systems is really nothing new in the financial services industry, and this is something that financial institutions have been experimenting for quite a long time now. For instance, if we just focus for a second on the securities trading space, investment firms have been relying on algorithmic trading systems, so basically the systems that enable automatic execution of trading orders based on the automated decision-making process based on an algorithm, basically, for the better part of the last decade. These systems are largely based on machine learning models, where the system basically learns from market movements and past experiences, with the aim of implementing them in the subsequent trading decision-making process. These models can be seen in many ways as sort of predecessors of some more advanced AI-based trading system whose emergence we are slowly but surely starting to witness now. AI-based systems in the securities trading space, for instance, can enable investment firms to analyze vast amounts of data so that no human could analyze at that scale and make more informed and faster investment decisions. For instance, an AI system can much easily and precisely analyze a huge amount of financial as well as non-financial data. Let's say, for instance, pending election data, political instability in a particular region, or particular weather events that could have certain impact on the price of particular stocks or a movement in a particular sector, and factor them in the decision-making process and a trading strategy of the firm. Another use case can be also the use of automated systems for the provision of investment advice and portfolio management services that can likewise leverage the analysis of vast amounts of data with the aim of finding more tailored investment advice or investment strategy for particular investors. For instance, in 2018, 2019, we have already witnessed the emergence of the so-called robo-advisors that were, to a certain extent, based on machine learning models and that are ever since being increasingly adopted as well as improved by financial institutions. However, I have to say that when we speak about the deployment of AI in the financial services sector, the use of the system is really not solely reserved for the front office of investment firms and financial institutions overall. Some tasks and functions in the back office can also leverage the use of AI. For instance, if we focus for a second on a compliance departments, for instance, especially markets compliance, so trading desk compliance, monitoring of trades, sanctions monitoring, prevention of money laundering, and so on, are all processes that could provide for better operational efficiency with the use of AI. And also in the risk management space, so for instance, management of operational credit and market risks, as well as the increasingly important environmental risks, can be done more efficiently based on the analysis of huge amounts of data that AI systems can do much more efficiently than the human resources that financial institutions dispose of.
Thank you. And in a nutshell, how would you say are EU-based financial institutions currently leveraging AI in terms of what is exactly the added value that the use of AI may bring for them?
Yeah, I have to say that first, due to the recent boom in Gen AI, the level of optimism in this space is very high at the moment. But if we put the hype on the side for a second, there is pretty much a decent level of consensus in the industry that through the deployment of AI, financial institutions can achieve a variety of benefits, both for themselves as well as for their customers. So for instance, they can potentially achieve better cost and time efficiency. So for instance, use of AI systems can reduce the costs related to the provision of certain services. So for instance, trading and security in terms of the headcount of the personnel necessary for this type of work, follow-up work, and so on, as well as to speed up the process and simplify the procedures underpinning the trading execution. On the other hand, operational efficiency is also something that can be achieved through the deployment of AI, as we just briefly mentioned. So the analysis of vast amounts of data in real time with automated reaction decisions on the events in the very short period of time. So that can be, for instance, especially important for trading desks as well as portfolio managers, is something that can hardly be done at that scale, at least in today's setup where financial institutions are relying solely on their human resources. And arguably, the use of AI systems can achieve a better investment outcome for financial institutions and their clients. So if we take, for example, active collective portfolio managers, so asset managers, we all know that only a small number of them really manage to beat the market performance, like for instance, the average performance of the S&P 500 index. And in the use of AI systems, we can arguably see an added benefit so that can give them the edge in when it comes to active management of clients' funds in this space that can be arguably expected in the coming period through the deployment of AI systems.
Understood. So now that we know about the added value, there are probably also challenges. So we all know that the financial services industry is one of the most heavily regulated industries, which brings me to my next question. Miroslav, what specific challenges do EU financial institutions face when deciding to use AI systems for the provision of financial services?
Indeed, this is by far the most important topic for financial institutions that are considering using the AI for the provision of their services. So first and foremost, in the EU, we have this longstanding practice of the EU lawmakers and the regulators that treat all regulations that apply to financial services industry in a, so to say, technology-neutral way. What this means, practically speaking, is that mandatory regulatory requirements need to be complied with regardless of the systems that financial institutions may be using for the provision of their services. So be it automated, not automated systems, so the use of AI, blockchain, whatever. Various financial institutions are subject to various regulatory requirements. So we need to differentiate here. So for instance, if we focus for a second on investment firms that are using AI-based systems, they are required to comply with in the same way as any other financial institution that needs to comply with the MiFID II regulatory framework and to ensure compliance, for instance, when providing investment advice or portfolio management services with the so-called suitability requirements, for instance. So basically to assess whether and to what extent certain investment advice or investment strategy is suitable for their clients by taking into due consideration the client's personal circumstances, financial situation, investment horizon, and so on. In the trading space, for instance, as I briefly mentioned, so investment firms have been using the algorithmic trading systems as well as high-frequency trading systems for a better part of the last decade. And under MiFID II, they are required to comply with specific technical and organizational requirements that apply to the use of these trading systems. So for instance, in terms of the overall setup that investment firms need to have for this purpose, protection measures, checks and controls around the infrastructure used for this, contingency and recovery measures in the case of any service downtime or shortfalls that the systems may experience in their performance. On the other hand, some other financial institutions need to make some slightly different considerations. So for instance, if we focus on payment and credit institutions that are using AI-based systems for the assessment of creditworthiness of their customers or customer spending behavior, we would need to also observe some applicable regulatory requirements that may, in certain areas, go beyond the scope of financial regulation. So for instance, if we speak about the creditworthiness and spending behavior of the customers, which types of data financial institutions are allowed to take into account for this purpose? So, for instance, is that only the data related to the direct solvency of the customers in terms of whether the customer is able to make regular payments of their debt, or even some additional data inputs, like, for instance, the locations, the frequency of visits of the customer to certain stores, let's say coffee shops, their spending habits in terms of nutrition, traveling, and so on and so on. The latter obviously going beyond the necessary purpose. And on top of that, all financial institutions using AI-based systems and sourcing them from external vendors are required to comply with specific requirements on outsourcing arrangements that apply to all financial institutions that operate in the EU. This is really, just to summarize, a set of contractual and organizational requirements that basically ensure that financial institutions are in control of the outsourced processes to the sufficient extent, as well as that they bear ultimate responsibility for the performance of the outsourced service. I would just use the opportunity when we are on this topic to emphasize that another important area of compliance will be of particular importance for financial institutions in this space, which is the compliance with the new EU regime on digital operational resilience in the financial services sector that is based on the Digital Operational Resilience Act, DORA. DORA will start to apply as of 17th of January 2025, and this will basically be the new regulatory framework with specific requirements on IT and management of information communication technology, ICT risks, that will apply to all financial institutions across the board. Speaking about the use of AI system, especially in the context of external procurement, so from external vendors of AI systems, DORA will be of particular importance for financial institutions. And therefore, I would strongly encourage our listeners to take a look over our latest publication on this topic, as well as some recent webinar recordings that are available on our website.
Thank you, Miroslav. Coming back to the AI, so AI may be the emerging topic, as we heard, not really new, but now newly emerging. Can you also shed some light on the guidance that the European Financial Supervisory Authorities have provided so far on the use of AI in the financial market, if they have given some guidance?
Well, they did indeed. So yeah. just for the context, so as I briefly mentioned, so the lawmakers take the technology-neutral approach when drafting legislation, and financial supervisory authorities pretty much across the all EU27 generally take the so-called substance over form approach, basically focusing on whether financial institutions have complied with their requirements or not, not on the way how they ensured this compliance. So with the aim of providing the industry with some clarity in this, you know, conscious of the fact that more and more institutions are either experimenting with the AI or considering, so factoring in the use of AI in their agenda, some authorities have provided some guidance, including German BaFin, French AMF, as well as Dutch National Bank. This guidance was pretty much a high-level guidance in which the NCAs have been largely emphasizing that financial institutions need to take risk-based approach and ensure compliance with the existing requirements when using AI systems in the same way as other institutions that are relying on some manual processes. However, just recently, on 30th of May this year, the European Securities and Markets Authority, ESMA, has issued the first targeted statement that is intended to serve as general guidance for investment firms that are looking to deploy AI for the purposes of the provision of retail investment services. So conscious of a particular risk that may be associated with the use of AI in the retail investment space. This statement provides the EU investment firms, in particular with the guidance on how to ensure their compliance with the aforementioned MiFID II framework when using AI systems. And ESMA has also identified some key areas of operation where the use of AI could be particularly beneficial for financial institutions that we mentioned previously in today's episode. However, ESMA, alongside some key use cases, has also identified some key risks that financial institutions may be exposed to when using AI. And this could be just in a summarized way, a lack of accountability, for instance, and over-reliance on the system. So where the question is being asked, okay, whether the human resources really have the overview of the, for instance, decision-making process in the trading space or in the investment advisory business, and who is basically accountable vis-a-vis the customer and investors for certain decisions and certain recommendations. Lack of transparency, for instance, we all know that when it comes to AI systems, they can sometimes operate in a way like a black box. So basically making decisions that we can really not not understand and see the logic behind it. And the last point that I would mention in this context is also the robustness and the resilience that financial institutions have in this space. So in terms of cyber threats and shortfalls in the shortcomings in performance that are also to a certain extent addressed in the aforementioned Digital Operational Resilience Act. ESMA has also emphasized and pretty much echoed the guidance that came from the national competent authorities in recent years, pointing out that firms need to ensure compliance with their key requirements, so client-facing requirements, suitability requirements, risk management, governance, and most importantly, has emphasized that the management boards bear ultimate responsibility for the use of AI and basically for the fact of whether and to what extent the use of AI systems fit into the overall business profile as well as the risk management profile of a particular financial institution. However, conscious of time, I will not be able to go into too much detail on this here. So I would just like to point out that we have prepared a dedicated article on this topic that is available on our website. So feel free to check it out for more information. And last but not least, just a couple of days ago, really, the European Commission has launched a targeted consultation on the use of AI in the financial services sector with the aim pretty much of gathering input from the industry on the use of AI in different areas of financial services. And the idea here is basically that the EU Commission gathers the input that should help it in its assessment of market developments and risks that are related to the use of AI, and that also need to be factored in when it comes to the implementation of the EU AI Act that Fritz is going to explore in more detail.
Thank you, Miroslav. Fritz, you are one of the... you are highly specialized on the new AI Act, so you are a go-to person when it comes to AI, and it is on my desk. So one of the key pieces of the EU legislation that is now keeping legal and compliance teams across various industries in the EU busy is the new AI Act. So we've already heard from Miroslav some references to the financial market. Now, would you please give us a high-level overview of the AI Act?
Sure thing. Happy to do so. It's very interesting to hear what the financial sector is already experiencing and coming across with regard to working with AI and how regulated it still is. And I think that the AI Act is just another, maybe bigger, but still just another piece of the larger puzzle, I would say. Still an important one, because as the EU claimed, and I'd still argue that this is true, it's the first comprehensive AI law worldwide. What does that actually mean? It means, first of all, it's a regulation, so that's directly applicable in all EU member states. No need to transpose it into national law, but everyone has to deal with it, and all the obligations directly apply to everyone who's in scope of the AI Act. And it basically uses a product safety law approach towards regulating AI systems and AI models throughout their life cycle. So once you develop a system and then place it on the market or put it into service in the EU, as well as not only AI systems, as I mentioned, but also AI models, and using them, there is a risk-based approach laid down in the AI Act. Likely anyone has already heard about it. What does it mean in a bit more detail? Depending on the risk level of an AI system, there's a differentiating system of rules and of varying complexity, I would say, for three different risk categories. The first one being an AI system with an unacceptable risk. There you have a prohibition to use that AI system in the EU. So quite broad, quite far-ranging provision to forbid the use of certain AI systems with unacceptable risk. For example, when it comes to judging personalities of persons, scoring, social scoring under different circumstances via AI systems might be forbidden, and then you're not allowed to make use of that AI system in the EU anymore. Second risk layer is the high risk layer, where AI systems would underfall in, for example, particular areas of law that's already on the market. Product safety law is already on the market. For example, product law, product regulatory law, when it comes to medical products, medical devices, in vitro devices, when they are, let's say, extended with AI within them as embedded AI, for example, then these would count as high-risk AI. Another case would be if an AI system is deployed in a particular area, an area that might be relevant for the financial institutions is the area of, let me just quickly check, access to and enjoyment of essential private services. This is broken down a bit more into AI systems that are actually intended to be used to evaluate credit worthiness of natural persons or establish their credit score. There are way more examples, but this is specifically mentioned in an annex to the AI Act. So this is also a use case where an AI system deployed would count as a high-risk AI systems. And in all of these cases, you have a very broad, let's say, catalog of compliance obligations, which you have to implement in your company following the use of the AI system. And then you also have like a third risk layer, which is, I would say, rather a minimum risk layer, where you usually have transparency obligations. For example, when you deploy so-called deepfakes or chatbots or something like that, where an AI is interacting, for example, with people, then you would regularly need to show or inform people using the AI that an AI system is actually in place. And then there's this whole other, let's say, part of AI systems that are not in any of these risk areas. EU Commission, when they initially presented the draft of the AI Act in 21, said that's likely 80 to 85% of AI systems currently used, for example, spam filters or bots in computer games, so they would not be regulated at all. So this risk-based approach the EU chose, knowing that regulating AI and AI systems in these times can be an intricate thing and come with a lot of burden, potentially hindering innovation, but they also wanted to make sure that the risks of deploying AI systems are covered sufficiently. This is why they chose the risk-based approach.
Thank you. And now, will the AI Act impact the financial services industry as well? I guess yes. And if yes, what are the main provisions of the AI Act that financial institutions need to be aware of?
Well, yes, that's the big question now, actually, because the AI Act is a horizontal law. It focuses on regulating AI systems in general. And like I already explained, picks out various use cases where an AI system might count as high-risk AI and may even be regarded as a forbidden system, a prohibited system. So what banks and other players in the financial industry should look at is definitely, am I deploying an AI system that falls under one of these categories? The most relevant ones, I would say, are the ones for social and other scoring activities, whether they work with facial recognition, whether they work with emotional recognition. It's a little bit, I would say, not something that you would initially think about, but it's definitely something that you would have to take into account just to look at once, to maybe even only be sure, okay, it's not for me, I'm not subject to that piece of legislation, and then you're fine, and then you don't have to worry about that. The other piece, looking at, like I said, credit scoring and credit worthiness, there may be systems that are in place that would underfall the high-risk category. There you would have to double-check if your systems are really AI systems that would fall in this category, and then you would have to take the respective obligations and implement them.
Thank you. And how do you think financial institutions shall approach the implementation process when it comes to the AI Act? What are the deadlines here?
So the deadlines, we have some pretty new information about that. You may have come across the fact that the statutory proceedings of the AI Act really becoming final law have been very, let's say, interesting to follow, because there were a lot of twists, lots of developments within the negotiations in the trilogue between the EU institutions. And this has all led to the AI Act likely finally being published in the official journal on the 12th of July, so only a few days from now. And once it's published, 20 days later, it will come into force. So that would be the 1st of August in 2024. But like with other EU digital laws, I would say the EU has implemented into the law, let's say, a grace procedure. So there is a difference between becoming law and becoming applicable. And for becoming applicable, the EU differentiated between various provisions and cases. So in detail, it's quite complex, but what you could regularly, generally say is that after 6 months, like 6 months after 1st of August, likely, prohibited AI practices are actually live to be prohibited, so to say, right? Then you have to make sure that you do not use, deploy any prohibited AI systems anymore. After 12 months, you'll have to notify particular AI systems within the EU governance, AI governance scheme, and the obligations for providers of general purpose AI models start to be applicable. And then after 24 months, let's say all other regulations, rules and provisions come into play. And then you have another step that's 36 months. So for providers of high-risk systems, after 3 years, they have like 3 years, a bit more, to double check whether they are actually in conformity with the regulations. So they have 3 years actually to implement the regulations in their organization. What you also have to take into account is that does not apply regularly for legacy systems. So only new AI systems that you deploy after the AI Act coming into effect. That's also a little thing that one can deal with to make sure if you are really subject to the AI Act with your AI system or not. And then there are a few other steps, but I would say that these are the most important ones. And what should you do when you have to, when you ask yourself, am I really subject to the AI or not? It's hard to say, actually. It's hard to give that one general answer. But We've actually discussed and worked with a lot of clients by now. Even though the AI Act is not applicable yet, lots of companies are really interested in how to move forward. What does it mean? What do I have to do? So even before applicability, some clients are really keen to find out, and we work with them to really gather some info and internet insight what you can do. And I would say, just to give you some, let's say, basic ideas how you would approach that, is that we found out there are a few, let's say, action points that you can generalize, right? First one, in my view, building an interdisciplinary team from a company, right? So implementing the AI Act. The AI Act is tech, is law, is governance, is organization. It's a lot of things. And you need to have a diverse team of players with the respective know-how, let's say, at the table. So this interdisciplinary team is, in my view, really important. Second thing is, go ahead, please identify your systems, whether they would count as AI systems. The definition of the AI Act is really intricate, and it's, let's say, a broad mixture of technical and legal, at least, requirements that you really have to focus on. I mean, it's hard for, you wouldn't think that maybe, but sometimes it's also hard for companies to determine what systems do I actually use and deploy, not even AI systems, but what kind of software do I have in use, right? And if you have a picture about that, that's nice, but then you have to double check if these are subject to the definition in the AI Act and whether they would count as AI systems. I think that's the second thing that you can definitely do. Once you have that, you could pre-categorize your systems into different risk categories. And then I think you should pick out a use case to focus on implementation steps. Maybe once you figured that one system may be subject to the regulations as prohibited AI system, you can go through the legal assessment. And if that's the case, what do you do when that's the case, or when it's a high-risk system? How does your organization, what does your organization have in place as a process already? Do you have a governance team? What do you need to change in your actions? What do you need to implement still? What's missing when it comes to the obligations for high-risk system, for example? So I think these are very high level, but still more or less generic steps that you can take.
That is very helpful. Thank you. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. And I would like to thank you both, Miroslav and Fritz, for joining me today. It was great speaking to you about these very interesting topics. Thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to subscribe to our channel to stay up to date with our forthcoming episodes that will continue to explore the latest legal and regulatory developments, trends, and hot topics in the fintech sector from across the globe.